Also want to look, of course, at the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets end up getting a win tonight over Charlotte. Not many games left in the season, and they do need a win. So joining us now is our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. You can follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball and, of course, on his Action Network website. Matt, this was a game for the Denver Nuggets that they needed. It ended up being a win for them. Porter Jr. scores 30. Jokic scores 30. But the first thing that I want to focus on is Jokic's 17 free throw attempts. Is he actually getting treated like a star now?
No. So, real quick. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and let you know. That's a no. Consider that several of those were on technical fouls. So, Borrego got teed up twice and kicked out. LaMelo Ball picked up one immediately afterwards. So, there's that. And then you have a Hornets team that they're not bad at center. And you saw some good minutes from Cody Zeller, but part of it is they switch. And so if you're switching everything, you're going to have undersized guys on Jokic. And so I think that was a lot of it was there's also more space, right? Because if you're not compacting the paint, if you're not, you know, drawing guys in to try and contest Jokic near the rim, he had room for some of those things with the dunks and the drives. Like, he was spry tonight. And so I think that contributed to it. So, like, I'm not surprised that he got them versus the Hornets, but he doesn't need to get them versus the Hornets. He needs to get them versus the other teams that he's going to face in the Western Conference playoffs, and that's going to be, I think, a little bit trickier.
The rest of the starters got a grand total of 2 free throw attempts. That'd be Austin Rivers, who had 2 of them, hit 1 of them. So when you look at the rest of the way the team drew fouls or didn't draw fouls, when you look at the jump shots and the fact that Rivers started tonight, how do you look at this Nuggets rotation, knowing that the playoff was and knowing they had Monte Morris back tonight?
Yeah, it took Monte a few minutes to settle in, to knock the rust off, to hit some stuff and kind of got going a little bit. I think that was good to see. You know, he said after the game, he's fine. He's going to be on minutes limit for a while, so he's fine with coming off the bench, especially with how well Faku's playing. And so, look, the bench was massively outscored tonight. This was a blowout before the bench got in and then got it back to a single-digit game. And we've talked about this before, how if the Nuggets starters build a big lead, for whatever reason, if the bench gives it up, the starters have a really hard time coming back in and just, like, cranking it right back up to 20. You know, it's almost like they're like, we did all that work, and you can't hold it to double digits for 6 minutes. Like, you just can't. Come on. So there's a level of frustration there, I think. But, look, in general, the key thing here are the playoffs. You know, Jokic will be playing. Like, Jokic is going to have to play between 42 and 47 minutes a night. That's just the reality. There's no way around it. And I think, you know, Michael Porter Jr. will play more. Aaron Gordon will play more. What I do think is going to be interesting is Malone, for the most part, has kept MPJ and Gordon pretty much together with the starters. Like, MPJ will have a few stints with the reserves just to try and give them a little bit of an extra bump. But in general, the starters mostly play together. I wonder if he's going to throw some of those lineouts out, you know, some of the starters out to try and get them some more staggered rotations so that the bench doesn't just collapse when Jokic isn't off the floor, but they don't have any minutes doing that. And so, like, that to me, I think, is a big thing to keep an eye on as we get closer to the playoffs.
Matt, presumably, if Campazzo is going to stay in the starting rotation going forward, and even when he's back, Monte Morris is not, is there going to be a concerted effort to assemble some kind of bench unit? And if so, what unit does that look like?
I mean, look, the playoffs, you don't need to. You don't want to go any deeper than 9 at most. 8 is preferable. The 5 starters, Monte Morris, Jamichael Green, 1 of the Jamichael Green, you know, Paul Millsap, JaVale combo. And then probably Shaq Harrison, I would think, is probably coming off the bench as well as kind of a wing. P.J. Dozier, when he gets back, Will Barton gets into that equation. If Will Barton's back, then Austin Rivers, I think, as part of that equation, depending on what you need. If you need scoring, you're going to Rivers. If you need defense, you're going to Shaq Harrison. And that's, like, how it goes. You don't need a bench rotation. You're not going to play an all-bench lineup. Right. You can't. I mean, you flat out can. I think Malone knows that. So you're really just going to try and piece together the best lineup you can when Jokic isn't on the floor, and that's going to be tricky. But you really only need to survive for about 4 minutes per half at most.
The last time that we talked, we were talking about Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon being more assertive on offense. And tonight, 14 shot attempts, the most that he's had as a Denver Nugget since being acquired from Orlando, 17 points. Is this the kind of game that Gordon needs to have when we get to the playoff time?
I think so. I think one of the problems is that a lot of that he was creating in transition, which is good, right? Like, you want him using his athleticism. He should be getting full court passes from Jokic and Campazzo. He should be attacking downhill. It's hard to do in a playoff series when everything is so grinded out possession by possession and so many teams slow you down. But that, I think, is going to be key. You know, I think, especially in a first-round series, depending on who the matchup is, you want to attack them with your athleticism down court. And I think that's a way for him to get involved. Like, I think there is a correlation between them playing faster tonight and Gordon getting going. And that's going to have to be something that they try and use, but you've got to pick your spots. It's going to have to be, you know, either a turnover or a rebound. And Gordon is the one that's, you know, really leading the pack and putting pressure on the defense in transition. There are good effects to be had with that. Even if you don't get a score, just constantly making them get back wears on them. And that, I think, is one way that Gordon can help offensively.
Talking with Matt Moore, our Nuggets insider. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball. And when you look at these playoff seedings as it stands, we know the Nuggets have tried to manipulate them in the past with, actually, to be honest, quite a bit of success. At the moment, the Nuggets are the number 4 seed, and the Blazers are the number 5 seed, Mavericks number 6. Which team would you rather play, knowing that the Nuggets have 3 games left, and is there anything you would do to try to manipulate those playoff seeds?
The game versus the Blazers on the last night of the season is fascinating. It's just going to be a fascinating game, depending on what they want to do. So, one thing, the Nuggets have clinched the top 4 seed with a win tonight. They will not finish worse than 4th in the Western Conference. They will have home court advantage in their first round series. So, that's a get for them. From there, the question is really Mavs versus Blazers. Now, there's a possibility of the Lakers getting into a 3-way tie, but it works out mostly the same with the Lakers falling to 7. The Lakers have to pass other teams, and that's unlikely to happen in these few games left. You know, I tend to think that the Mavericks are probably the one I would want to see. I think the Blazers have an emotional, not edge, but they get up for it, right? Like, both teams kind of dislike each other. They're not willing to call it a rivalry. They don't like each other. They haven't liked each other since that series. You got Dame time without Jamal Murray to counter. You got Nurkic, which is a tough cover, even if I don't think he's anywhere near in the class of Jokic. Even defensively, I think he's pretty poor. They're deeper. They've got more weapons. Dallas, I think, is so dependent on Luka that the Nuggets can just blitz him, get the ball out of his hands, and dare the rest of that team to beat them. So I think if they need to beat Portland to get Dallas in the last game of the season, they should try. But ultimately, the team is going to just they're going to keep an eye on minutes and try and get rest for the starters. You saw some of those signs tonight, I think. But in general, neither option is good. But both options are way, way better than the Los Angeles Lakers.
That does seem reasonable, given that there are 3 games left. Minnesota and Detroit, the next two, are awful teams. I mean, Detroit is just second to worst team in the NBA. And then you do have that game against Portland. So if you're the Nuggets, presumably you want to get on the Thursday and Friday games, win those both, and then perhaps the game against the Blazers doesn't mean anything.
No, actually, I disagree. So here's the trick. The Clippers won tonight, but this is what you got to watch out for. Clippers are still just 1 game up.
They are.
If you win both those games, that risks you going to third. If the Blazers flip up in their next two, they've got Utah and Phoenix back-to-back. Have fun with that, Portland.
Yeah, top 2 teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah. If Portland slides behind the Lakers and the Nuggets move up, it's 3-6 Nuggets-Lakers. You want to stay at 4. I'm not saying the Nuggets are going to do anything to ensure that. I'm just saying it would very much benefit the Nuggets to, oh, I don't know, rest everyone but Bol Bol in the next two games. You can't finish worse than fourth. You don't want to finish third. There's too much risk involved, depending on what happens with tonight's game versus the Knicks and other games. If you want to avoid the Lakers, which the Nuggets are not actively trying to do, as I've been told, but if you want to do that, I'm not sure you want to win both of these games versus Minnesota and Detroit.
So is this a luxury for the Nuggets? Because they're only one game behind the Clippers, but they're six ahead of Portland. So at this point, pardon me, five ahead of Portland as it stands tonight. But is this a luxury for them, knowing that for the next three games then, if that's the plan to try to sync up against one of those teams, either Portland or Dallas, where the Nuggets can basically get these guys who have been dramatically overtaxed, given the injury situation, a bunch of rest and just let it go? Is this a situation where this team puts it on cruise control until the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they could still beat both those teams. The Wolves are actually much better. They're playing very good basketball right now. But the Pistons are just actively trying to lose. So that one, I'm not sure that the Nuggets can lose that game. I think I asked Malone about this after the last game in terms of rest. The rotation's so short right now, even with Monte back, without P.J. Dozier, without Jamal Murray, and without Will Barton, there's only so many guys that they can rest. Now, I think the front court, you got better depth, so you might be able to rest guys a little bit more. You might start Bol Bol, or, you know, bring him off the bench and start Paul Millsap, or start Millsap and JaVale. Like, I expect to see some of those kind of things staggered. But, yeah, there is a benefit to the fact that the Nuggets genuinely do not have anything left to really accomplish in terms of benefit for them. Like, you move up to the three, you don't have to play Utah in the second round. That's not, you know, if the two gets knocked off, you don't have to, you get home court. Like, there's no real advantage in three versus four. And that's one of the reasons why I expect the Nuggets to, it's not surprising they got this win to clinch the four seed, but now I think that there's a real reason for them to probably throttle back and coast for these next 2 weeks, which Malone mentioned. You know, the play-in tournament takes up all next week. If they start resting guys now, they'll get a solid 10 days of rest before the playoffs start.
We're talking with Matt Moore, a Nuggets insider, and I think everything you said makes a lot of sense for this Nuggets team. Now, Monte Morris is back. You've talked about it. You think he's going to lead the bench unit. But I want to step over to Michael Porter Jr., who had 30 points, same as Nikola Jokic, another efficient, effective scoring night, 6 from 10 from 3, and a plus 23. I understand they do not have Jamal Murray, who is the second-best player on this team by a significant margin. But given that they have Michael Porter Jr., how far do you think this team can go?
I think that they can make the Western Conference Finals. I'll say that.
Okay.
I think if they get the four, there's a couple of scenarios here. If they get the four, I don't entirely, I think Utah is really good. It wouldn't shock me if Utah made the finals. It shocked me a little bit. I would be surprised but not shocked if Utah made the finals. But I definitely think that Utah doesn't want to see Jokic for seven games. If they get the Mavericks and then the Jazz, that's a doable path to the Western Conference Finals. And if they lose to the Jazz, you know what? The Jazz have been on fire this year. It's a great team. No Jamal Murray. No big deal. But Porter in particular, you need somebody who's going to be able to put up 35. Now, teams are going to play him like the Lakers have. They're going to be physical with him. They're going to bump him. They're going to grab him. They're going to make it difficult, and he's going to have to adjust to that. We've seen little glimpses. Tonight was actually a good example. They started posting him tonight and getting him the ball and letting him create more and make decisions on his own offensively. That's going to be key because he's going to have to create shots on his own versus tough defense. Jokic is not going to be able to hold his hand the whole way. So I think he can do it. And I think he's so dangerous that he can flip a series if he has two absolutely bonkers games, which I think he's capable of.
Porter Jr. plus 23 tonight, night and day beyond the next closest, which was, well, Facu Campazzo. And that would be the last one I'd ask you. In Campazzo's case, are we assuming that he's going to start now the rest of the way with Jokic because of his comfort level with him, and Monte Morris, who is, I think, by all accounts, a better overall athlete when you're talking about starting, but that's not going to way this is. That's not the way this is going to work the rest of the way out, is it?
No. So one thing, it's worked with Campazzo. They've won with Campazzo. The team has a lot of trust and faith in him, from Malone to Jokic on down. They all love him. They think he's playing great. And so I think if there's something to be said for that. So, yeah, I expect Campazzo to start. I think Morris, you know, can handle the bench unit. I also think that Morris is better with the bench unit than Campazzo is. I don't know that Campazzo is better with the starters than Morris is. They bring different things to the table. But it's way better for Campazzo to play with the starters and the bench. And so I think until you hit a matchup where Campazzo is just not playable because teams are targeting him and he's losing that matchup, which they will fight and kick and claw at, I expect Campazzo to start and Morris to come off the bench. They do have some options. I think Austin Rivers has shown some good things in starting too. But I think for now, Campazzo is the starter, Morris off the bench.
Not exactly the way they drew it up, but the Nuggets only have three games left in the season and find themselves, quite frankly, in a rather favorable position. Matt Moore joins us. He's our Nuggets insider. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at HP Basketball, and at the Action Network. Matt, thank you so much for the time. Looking forward to touching base with you in just a couple days when the Nuggets take on the T-Wolves. Appreciate the time.
Always
good to talk to Matt Moore, of course. Joined us courtesy of Michelob Ultra, an official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets, a big one. And this is going to be interesting. The Nuggets, I'll admit, I have criticized this approach in the past. I don't entirely love it. But what Matt suggested, when you're talking about maybe doing a little manipulating of the seedings, the truth is that the Nuggets are just trying to find the best fit to make sure that they advance in the playoffs. Now, without Jamal Murray, it does lower the ceiling for the Nuggets. But they might get P.J. Dozier back. They might even get Will Barton back in the early going of the playoffs. That might make a change. This Nuggets team has been really good since losing Jamal Murray and Will Barton, for that matter. Can they find a way to keep it going? It will be really interesting to see. I'm intrigued by the way this team plays. And I want to believe in their potential. So we will see what they do in their final handful of games. Hopefully the Nuggets have another deep playoff run in front of them. It's not impossible, even given their injuries. And that, folks, is exactly why Nikola Jokic should be the league's MVP. The Colorado Rockies are in action after being rained out last night. A little snow where I live, but not enough to stop the game for the Rockies and the Padres. We'll touch base with them and find out what trades might be in the offing. We'll do that next.